Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Thanks for listening to the Dusty and Cam in the Morning podcast, brought to you by your local Les Schwab Tire Centers, where I get my wild country tires. Les Schwab, doing the right thing since 1952.
It's U.S. Open Week with Dusty and Cam in the Morning.
Little chilly dip of there.
The Fans U.S. Open Week.
Brought to you by Area Heating and Cooling. Don't wait for comfort with Area Heating and Cooling. Go to areaheating.com today, your local train comfort specialists. It's hard to stop a train.
Dusty and Cam on 1080.
Only John Daly and I have this iron.
The Fan.
Okay.
I have a Caddyshack quiz for you, Dusty.
Okay, go.
What? When is this music used in the show?
Is this at the ship christening or dinner? Dinner.
I want to say it's dinner. Is it playing in the background when she asks, do you want to tie me up with some of your ties, Ty?
Yeah.
Bingo!
Yeah. It's one of the two.
Bingo.
Hey, good.
All right.
You want to make $14 the hard way?
Hey, now I know why tigers eat their young.
Would you something for electricity?
Sorry. Go all night.
Oh, keep going.
Sorry. I'm ready.
All right. Speaking of greed taking over our team sports, that was our textual relations today, and we had a good talk about it. This is just in from Dennis Dodd of CBS Sports. It's actually from Brett Schronenbohr from USA Today as well. The title is Panic in the Pac-12 as the conference quickly falls behind its rivals.
Oh, this is good. Read this. This is good stuff.
Kirk Schultz, the Washington State president, and it seems as if Washington State just handed everything over to USA Today, is essentially saying that the Pac-12 is projected, according to Washington State, to reach $38 million per school in distribution payouts from revenues in 2023. Within the next 2 years, every other Power Five conference is expected to distribute over $40 million per school. The ACC has always been behind the Pac-12, and kind of that's been the last thing the Pac-12 can stand on is, hey, we got the ACC beat.
Mm-hmm.
They're expected to vault over $40 million as soon as maybe even next year. So the Pac-12 is falling behind even further than we thought.
Scary or not? Frightening or not?
Okay, well, here's Schultz, the Washington State president's comment.
Sure.
If you look at the overall athletic budgets of the top 25 largest athletic departments in the country, I think the Pac-12 only has two schools that are even on that list. I do think it's harder to compete for coaches. It's harder to build facilities. Harder to do the things we'd like to do with less revenue coming in compared to other leagues. It puts us at a disadvantage.
Bingo.
But he went on to say, Larry Scott's doing a great job.
Oh, the seal of approval, the kiss of death, the vote of confidence. Larry Scott is not doing a good job. I'll say it straight out. I mean, I don't think Larry Scott cares what I think. Doesn't care what a lot of people think because he's doing his own thing because he's the highest paid commissioner in all of the NCAA. Did you know that?
I did.
And now the Pac-12 is the lowest revenue generating conference in all of college football. Did you know that?
We knew that, but it's been close. The gap has been close. What this is telling us is that the gap is going to widen. And then here's the problem that the Pac-12 is in, is that they desperately need to catch up, right? But here's where the Pac-12 has a massive issue. They were the first ones to get in with a new television deal.
This is too long. They signed it too long.
They're going to be the first ones to come up again. Mm-hmm. So they'll get a new deal. And just like before, they'll get a 2 or 3 year head start on everybody. But then everybody else is going to go, we're bigger. Yeah. We're better. We need more. And the Pac-12 will be back behind everybody.
Well, the more we talk about this, the more I feel that there isn't an answer and a solution until new management comes in, until fresh blood, until somebody goes out and gets somebody from the ACC or the SEC and pries them away and finds a committee, finds some way to get the right revenue-generating people with new ideas and something different to start helping schools like Cal, like Oregon State, like Washington State, to not be $60 million in debt to try to keep up.
See, and that I don't think is Larry Scott's problem. Larry Scott's problem is that the Pac-12 network, which he banked his reputation on with this conference, is failing. And although they're saying that in the last 5 years it has grown 63% in distribution, it is not nearly as effective as it has been. Mm-hmm. What happened was poor leadership at Cal and Washington State said, yeah, go ahead, spend, spend, spend. And now they don't have the money. They're not even nowhere close to being able to afford the projects that they bid off. Washington, what did they go out and they did? They built a brand new Husky Stadium.
Yeah,
but they funded it privately.
Yeah, they privately funded it and didn't go outside their means. I mean, I know that their stadium cost $280 million.
Well, and there's a reality here that Cal and Washington State, when to get their schools got in debt and their athletic departments got in debt because they forgot who they were. I mean, if we're being honest.
It's the arms race.
Yeah, but you need to know who you are at the same time.
So are you saying that Oregon State's doing it the right way is not is staying within their means?
Yeah. It pisses fans off. But you know what? It lit a fire when Mike Riley left for Nebraska. It lit another fire when Gary Anderson threw up his hands and quit. It really does. It comes down to if your fan base really wants to be in this arms race, you need to pony it up yourself.
Yeah, too, and that too. But Washington State, 9 wins, bowl games.
Oh, I know. And Cougs.
Cougs, dude, talk about playing above your skis there. That's not what it is. I mean, yeah, you're fighting against all the recruits and all the other universities to try to get them. You're fighting against Big Brother on the other side of the mountain. Mm-hmm. And Washington State is holding their own. But they had to spend to get it.
Yeah.
And so I don't think it was a bad investment by Washington State. What they're trying to do now is trying to say, okay, conference, just match what everyone else is doing. Can you get us in the second or third place, just not fifth?
Yeah. Well, no, you can't do that. Right now.
Well, run out with the leadership, not with the current leadership.
But you needed to know how much money you had coming in that you could bank on. And they couldn't. Now, I give Washington State, their fan base has done everything to make them competitive. And they have gone far above. You're saying they're playing above their skis. Man, they have gotten so much money to come in, but they're still falling behind because you need to have this arms race to appease your fan base, but you also need to realize that you can't spend that much money if it's not going to be coming in consistently, right? And it really isn't.
Yeah, don't use Cal as an example, because I think that when I think about Cal and what they've decided to do and how they've done it, the exorbitant amount of money it costs to do anything in the Bay Area is ridiculous and shouldn't be compared to, because $500 million to fix Cal is a joke.
Well, they are actually...
That's a joke.
They are a better example of realizing you don't have that money than Washington State is. Mm-hmm. Because...
They're not paying their coaches.
No.
Nothing compared to... I mean, Coach Wilcox is getting paid, what, $1.7 million? Which is a couple hundred thousand less than or more than Jim Leavitt.
Yeah. This is... And, you know, this texter says that Cal has plenty of money people there. They just don't want to spend it on football.
Yeah. It's true. Their priority is not that.
And that is knowing who you are.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it's fair.
I mean, do you think that all those they have $1 billion
endowments.
They have $1 billion alumni, right?
Yeah.
They don't care right now.
Yeah, they don't care.
And they never have. Mm. Because you know what, when Jeff Tedford had that thing rolling,
they never will. Good. Is that a never will too? Do we say never have, never will?
An interest in football? Probably. I mean, who's to say that you won't have one of your alums that is Phil Knight and just says,
yeah, Marshawn Lynch, man. Don't let him know that.
I'm going to change that.
Sure.
I'm going to change that individually. Marshawn Lynch is no Phil Knight from a financial standpoint. But it could just take one guy to go in there and say, all right, win. Here's my money. Take it.
You need somebody that likes sports and went to Cal. Find that guy.
Well, I think you will at some point. It's just not happening yet. Yeah.
The lead singer, Counting Crows. That's about all I got. He's always courtside at the Warriors games. He went to Cal. That's his thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, when I think of Cal, I just think of, I don't, it's just very.
I'm going up to Strawberry Canyon for a game.
It's just kind of
up there. It's a fun environment before a game, pre-game, with they have like frat row right next to there.
Mm-hmm.
But it was at the time where you had the hippies in locking themselves in the trees so yeah. they wouldn't tear down. Mm. Because when they were going to remodel Memorial Stadium, they were going to have to take out these big trees.
Yeah.
And the hippies were like, no.
You're not taking our
so
trees.
So they literally climbed up in them and chained themselves to the trees.
Yeah.
And I remember walking by them, and they had like a little fenced off area around them. And
yeah.
they were just chilling up in the trees, just yelling, don't tear down the trees. That's my one Strawberry Canyon experience.
Good for you.
Cal football.
Do you guys remember just last year when the hot dog salesman guy got his money stolen by the police officer?
No. I have a follow-up to that story, though. They cut down the trees.
What happened to the guys that were living in the trees?
They got out.
Timber!
They got out. Oh, maybe Aaron Rodgers can do it.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers seems like he hates Cal.
I think he does.
Every time they do the verbal introduction, he's always like, Duke College.
Yeah, I mean, he's like, yeah.
Yeah, he went from Chico.
In defense of Cal, Aaron Rodgers seems to hate everybody. He doesn't talk to his family.
He likes Danica, though. He likes Danica.
She seems like a real treat.
What? You hate her?
Have you heard some Danica of the interviews Patrick? With Danica Patrick? She can be a mean
She's a
cookie.
NASCAR driver. What do you want her to be? Nice?
I don't know.
And he previously had Olivia Munn.
Just as spicy as that, too. He likes him spicy.
I guess so.
She's a NASCAR driver. What do you want her to
be? For the guy who's famous for saying, relax. He gets the complete opposite.
You have to.
Opposites attract.
It's just they do.
Wow. There are 10 billionaire alumni from Cal on the Forbes list. Can't get one of them.
Can't get
just
one of
pony
them.
Up that money and get it back to zero. Mm-hmm. All right. The time Brett Favre invented a play. Dusty and Cam on the Fan.
32 countries from around the world will converge in Russia to determine the best soccer nation on earth. The United States isn't in the 2018 World Cup, so SB Nation decided to help you figure out who you will root for. This is today's edition of World Cup Teams as College Football Teams.
Belgium, staggering underachievement despite plenty of talent. Belgium, you are UCLA. Brazil, glamorous talent, tons of style, spectacular defeats, and a list of championships in various decades. You've also got a really old home stadium, and you're usually a contender. Brazil, you are USC.
Ha! Belgium as UCLA, I love
UCLA.
It.
Brazil.
Continually underachieving. So we had a texture talking about our last segment there where we were talking about how there's a bunch, like all you need is like one billionaire to just pony up and say, I got this. And I'm going to make you.
To help make football better.
Yeah. And this texture said, you know, Cal has got 10 billionaire alums from Cal on the Forbes list. So I went and I checked that out. That is not true. But what I found was something a little bit more alarming. Cal comes in at, 10th on this list because they have 4 billionaire alums, okay? But I went through, and this is from the Forbes 400 list of their billionaires, and I went through Pac-12 schools who are on this list. The Pac-12 has 6 of the top 23 schools when it comes to how many billionaires went to your school. 6 of them.
6.
Do you want to know the next closest in the Power 5 conference?
No. Who is it?
You don't?
Oh, I do. You don't but I don't know who it is.
2 schools. Big 10, ACC and SEC have 2 schools that make this list. And put this into perspective. Stanford has 13 billionaires that went there. USC has 11 billionaires that went to their school. As I said, UCLA has got 5, Cal has got 4, mm-hmm. and then you have Arizona with 3 and Washington with 3. There's more money from people who went to Pac-12 schools, but they just don't care about sports.
I just shake my head.
Yeah.
They don't care. How many more times do you need to back up the point of we just don't, majority of people don't care about sports out here on the West Coast.
Yeah.
Even though the rich just don't care.
So the Big Ten is the next closest with they have Michigan State has 4 billionaires and University of Michigan has 6 billionaires that went there. Again, USC alone has 11.
11.
On the, like, that's, there's a lot of money
and,
tied
and
to Pac-12 schools, but they just don't spend it on them.
Well, and hands down, USC is the best program in the Pac-12. Mm-hmm. Just hands down.
True. True that. All right. That was just an
is that alarming?
An interesting little tidbit.
So if every one of those billionaires invested in sports, just took a small chunk, would it change the landscape of the Pac-12?
Well, think of this. This texture just said Oregon only needs one. It's only, Phil Knight has meant the world to that Oregon program. The Nordstrom family, aren't they UW people?
Yes, they are.
They have how much money do they just shovel into the UW athletic department?
Yeah, exorbitant amount.
You know? So yeah, it just takes one of those people to care. Mm-hmm. And USC, they are the flagship of the Pac-12.
The mother load.
They're doing fine. But why can't UCLA, what is wrong with UCLA? Why can't they find one of theirs? Why can't Cal, like, you know, what's going on with, where's the disconnect here where it only takes one that you have to allure? You just one person. And it's seemingly an inability
can't
to do
you
that.
Associate every great college program, if you think about it? I mean, think about Oklahoma State.
Yeah, T-Boone Pickens.
T-Boone Pickens.
Yeah.
Think about Texas.
Well, those are the ones that have come out of nowhere. Yeah, like ones that have come out of nowhere, that's it.
There's you can associate sometimes. You can see it. I mean, you know who the Tennessee Volunteers is. You understand it. I mean,
it's the Haslam family.
Yes. I mean, there's connections to this and why they're so great. And then when it's Alabama or anybody else, they just don't care. They just spend anything. So they make a dollar, they're spending 75 cents on football.
Yeah, this texture says love sports, but would be okay if they cured cancer instead. Yeah, we get that.
We are a sports show.
Phil Knight's doing both.
Yeah.
He has the Knight Cancer Institute.
Remember, this is sports. Let's not take it too serious.
Well, yeah, I know.
But let's be realistic here.
And all we're looking for is if each of these schools went to those deep pockets and said, we just need one of you. That's it. That's it.
Yeah.
That's all you need.
Some donations.
You know the unfortunate part about this conversation that we're having?
What is the unfortunate part?
Brett Favre inventing a football play gets bumped yet another
yet again.
Day.
Oh, we can't take 4 minutes to say what RPOs are, Dusty? How many people out there know what an RPO is? Don't even say it. What's the over-under? 5 out of 10.
So you'd say 50% of people?
I'm going to say it's around 40%. I'm going to say 4.
I feel like it was so en vogue this football season that even the casual football fan may now know
They could probably say what an RPO is, but they have no idea what it means. I'm talking the full concept of what it means. 4 out of 10.
It's pretty...
Yeah, I think like 7 out of 10 will know the term and what it means, but maybe 3 will know how to execute that.
Yeah, because if you ever watched the primetime football game on ABC or ESPN on Saturdays and then you saw it on Sundays, Monday Night Football, you heard it a lot, but I don't know how many people actually know. No, so we're not going to talk about that.
Right.
Brett Favre is going to have to wait again because we've got bigger things to get to. Parade audio. And a former Duck was the star of the Warriors parade.
Hennessy.
All righty. We had a couple of parades yesterday in the sports world. 2 championships celebrated as the Golden State Warriors celebrated 3rd in 4 years. And the Washington Capitals, they celebrated their first ever. And we were talking about this on Monday after the Warriors won the title. It was just kind of like, meh, we won. We won the title. It's okay. Nick Young and Jordan Bell were the only guys, and Quinn Cook seemed like the only guys that were actually excited about winning the title. And the parade kind of showed the same thing. Jordan Bell became a star. This from NBC Sports Bay Area and their coverage of the parade.
Uh-oh. Is he out of the heading?
That bottle looks empty.
Is he out of the heading?
That bottle's empty.
Jordan's coming off. Jordan's coming off the bus.
Come off the bus. Is he coming off? Oh, boy. He's coming off.
They need more Heady. Maybe Coase could help him out. Kelly, you guys you got any more Heady where you guys are? Jordan Bell right out. Hey, with that app. Where is he?
There
he is. There he goes.
No, you sure you want to go?
Don't scale the wall, Jordan Bell.
He's jumping barriers.
Oh, boy. He got another bottle.
He needed to go to a liquor store. What giggle. Wow. Who's the PR rep on his bus?
Yeah, really.
What a real Jordan.
This is what a wild parade.
Kelly Johnson's got
him. She got him.
But are we still expecting more champagne baths going
on
here?
Hennessy. Now I don't know what champagne is. I'm going, hey.
Congratulations, Jordan.
You went back and got another swing.
I'm waiting for the trade from Jordan. Jordan Bell on that Eddie. He's barely old enough to drink. Well, he played 3 years ago. But so. Jordan Bell.
He's feeling good. He's
is on
good.
Fire today.
Runs out of his Hennessy, stops the bus, jumps off the bus, goes over the barricades, starts drinking. And it led to white guys saying, we need more Henny. We're out of Henny. Jordan Bell, star of the parade for the Golden State Warriors.
My goodness.
Congratulations to Jordan Bell. You became a hero.
It feels like the last couple parades we've had, you know, it wasn't Lane Johnson. It was, gosh dang it, for Philly. I just forgot again.
What?
The brother of the tight end.
Jason Kelce.
Thank you. Jason Kelce won the Phillies one. Now you have Jordan Bell, who is now Hennessy'd up and won. First of all, why is there Hennessy in the crowd?
Well, because they're partying too.
I know, but I'm like...
They want championships.
How could... Is Hennessy expensive? I have a question for you. How much is it? Is it...
I think it's like $24.
Oh, okay. So it's not over. It's not super expensive.
No, it's not super expensive. It's just that
that's a complete guess.
They can't really do anything about people bringing booze because you got a million people showing up and you can't police it all. So I think if a cop saw it, they could take it away. But for the most part, they're not doing anything.
I need more Henny.
That's a great drop. We need more Henny. Not gonna fall for the banana on the tailpipe.
Will Jordan Bell now be remembered as being Hennessy guy?
Yeah. What did I say this morning? I said he's going down. He's gonna forever be known as the Hennessy parade guy.
Yeah.
Because there
no,
was...
No, you said he's going to be like Mark Madsen.
I did say he's going to be like Mark Madsen,
no,
the former Stanford Laker.
Come on now.
That's never going away.
I think Jordan Bell's career will be better than
let's
Mark
hope
Madsen's.
So. Mark Madsen, awkward white guy dance?
I'd rather be... See, I have a feeling people are going to forget about Jordan Bell jumping over a barrier because you already forgot Jason Kelce's name.
No, but I remember him.
Yeah.
Like the actions.
You know
I remember his crazy stuff. I'll
You're
remember his name.
You're going to forget about that in a few years because there have been drunken idiots in every parade since the history of man. Since the very first parade ever.
But we're, I understand that. I hope it is different.
Are people going to remember Alexander Ovechkin in what he did yesterday? Because he had a great one as well. And we knew that this was going to happen with Ovi.
Oh, yeah.
We knew that this was going to happen because at the Capitals parade, which there were a ton of people. In D.C., lining the streets all over D.C. But Ovechkin gave his speech about the end of at the end of their parade, at the end of the route.
Before the year, I said, not me said, it's just us saying, we're not going to be sunk this year. We're the Stanley Cup champion.
NBC Sports Washington, he started out correctly too. I said at the beginning of the year, no, me say. At beginning of year, we know blanking suck. Now we Stanley Cup champions.
You know what's great about that? You can hear 14 years of pent up frustration telling everybody saying, I can't do it. He can't do it. He's the best that never could. But you can just hear this release coming on his guy.
The summer of Ovechkin is here, and it's here to stay. Mm-hmm. He's had the Stanley. So they say you're only supposed to have the cup for, what, like 3 days?
I think it's like 72 hours.
He's on day five, and there's
no stopping.
No sign of him slowing down either with when
you
he's going
to
give the
up?
Cup. Yes.
Did they come and get it from you?
Well, there's that guy who travels around with it, right? And he travels with it all summer because every player and coach gets an allotted amount of time with
it. Is it like 48 hours they get it?
Something like that. I think they build out a schedule and everything, but Ovechkin's currently the keeper of the cup.
See, so I think Jordan Bell will be forgotten for this.
See, now I don't know what champagne is. I'm going, hey!
I don't think so.
I need more Henny.
That's a winner.
So much panic in it. We need more Henny.
We need more Henny.
And this is also
one of the most awkward drops I've ever heard. But it was
that's
great.
Greg Papa. We can get him on if you want.
He did not have a shirt on, very similar to J.R. Smith, who did not put a shirt on for 3 days after his championship.
Seems to be the new trend.
And I believe he's still hung over from his championship based on the brain fart in game one of the playoffs. Mm-hmm. But I'm glad Jordan Bell is making his mark. The former Duck is doing well.
You don't want to leave anything out. You don't want to leave anything. I saw that Swaggy P say he's going to stay in his shirtless for the summer.
Yeah, Swaggy P was wearing like a bathrobe of sorts all day yesterday. Good
God. He can go away.
By the way, did you see Jordan Bell's whole Hennessy excursion started like at 8:15 in the morning yesterday?
That's hair on the dog.
He tweeted that he was mad because he forgot Hennessy at home before bringing it to the parade. So then fans had seen that. They helped him out. Then Donovan Mitchell was like, I can't believe you're tweeting this, not realizing it was his parade day.
Uh-oh.
And during the parade ceremony, Bell tweets back, I figured this is the day I could get away with it, LOL. And Mitchell goes, oh, I didn't realize it was your parade day. I'll back off.
Mm-hmm.
Donovan Mitchell, when did you become the Twitter police?
Yeah.
Goodness gracious.
How dare you
Lighten
do
up.
That? How dare you do that?
Oh, should you be putting this out here? No. Who
good.
Cares?
Not good.
You went to Louisville.
Yeah.
Where you had a brothel being run in your dormitories over
Let
there.
Let the guy celebrate. Drink some Henny. Like, we need more Henny.
Who are you to sit here and judge people, Donovan Mitchell? Get judgy. Off your high horse.
Isn't that what Twitter is judgies?
Yeah, well, that is true.
Twitter judge.
They need more Henny.
Yeah, more Henny.
They need more Henny. They need more Henny.
God, I need my own board. It's not fair. It's not fair you get to have the fun stuff. Not fair.
Here's my response to Donovan Mitchell's Twitter policing.
Nerd!
Let Jordan Bell drink his Hennessy at 8:15 if he wants to.
You go, Ogre. Ogre, also drinking out of a trophy.
Yes! Mm-hmm. People forget.
Hmm. Although not good enough to beat Booger. Drinker. Not good enough.
No. And it should be, Jordan Bell will be the face of Hennessy, right?
I thought that Marshawn Lynch was.
Well, and before that, J.R. Smith kind of was.
Yeah, he was.
Well, times have changed.
What does Hennessy taste like, by the way? I've never had Hennessy.
Well, apparently I was wrong on my $24. It's $40 for a fifth. Hennessy privilege costs you $65. And if you want to go a fifth of XO Hennessy, don't know if that's how you say it, it's $90. $190.
Is it is it?
It's a cognac, I think.
It's a cognac, okay.
Ooh, it's a lady.
Lady.
Every time I hear cognac, I think of the ladies' man. I'm Leon Phelps. Leon Phelps. Have some cognac. Ooh, it's a lady.
Yeah.
Great skit, really average movie.
Not every skit's a movie.
No, wait, hold on. The movie was great.
It was okay.
The Will Ferrell wrestling in the oils. Fantastic. All right, 55305. This is Dustin Cam.
They need more Henny.
See, now I know what champagne means. One more Henny.
So I don't know. I don't know what champagne is. I need more Henny. Is that what he's saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, I'm on the hen.
I'm on the hen.
Yeah. Oh, man. You blew my mind. We were just talking about something in the break. And you asked me the question, what is the healthiest sport in sports right now?
Yeah, what is the healthiest sport in our country?
We want to say football,
It's not true.
The sport that's in the best place right now, you blew my mind with what sport it is. Explain it to the peeps.
Well, it's baseball. It's baseball. The healthiest sport is clearly baseball.
Mm-hmm.
When he talked about football, it just is the problems of the changes, the emotions about it right now, what we're doing. We're going from a contact sport to a get off me, bro sport. Don't touch me. Mm-hmm. Controversy after controversy. Basketball is imbalanced. It's got a serious issue. It's the playoffs. The world championship was unwatchable for the majority of the country. You know, the imbalance, the super teams, the money issues. The entitled players, all of that. You know what stays solid? And I'm not throwing hockey under the bus here. Hockey is great. Of the core four, hockey is holding the test of time. But if we're talking about the major generating sports, I mean, NFL's at $14 billion. Major League Baseball's at $9.5 billion. And NBA's at $4.8 billion. There's a clear gap. But Major League Baseball is healthy. Very healthy. It's got great stars. It's during the time in our country when we don't get too wrapped up in being extreme. It's in the summer. It has a very good playoff system. It gives you local and national stories. It gives good balance. We have races in almost every single division.
Yeah.
And we had a superstar team last year knock off the vaunted Dodgers, and nobody said they could do it, and they did it.
Yeah. That is, it's a good point. It's a really good point. Football has its warts. Basketball is going through a problem. The only problem that baseball has right now is American participation, holding on to kids beyond elementary school.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and I think that the patience of a lot of people now is that the baseball is boring. It's too slow. It's hey, look, 3 out of 10 is a Hall of Fame. 3 out of 10 on your spelling test, it is a fail.
It's an F.
It's an F.
It's an F.
It's a sport of losing. It really is. It's a sport of failure. Mm-hmm. So it eliminates a lot of people. And I don't mind that. I don't. And that's why we're seeing countries like the Dominican and in Puerto Rico, it's not a country, it's part of the United States, but they're so much stronger because they have kids that are willing to put in the time and willing to lose to get to the top level.
Yeah, and that's a really good point. And when you think about it, it is. Football has got a ton of issues right now, and from parity to worries about the game to lawsuits and everything that goes around it, financially it is the most healthy. NBA's got issues of its own. With the discrepancy in the power struggle where one player can dominate the league and make everybody relevant.
So I want you to think of this.
Baseball.
Not too long ago, and you're gonna go, oh, I remember when he said that. 2 years ago, a guy named Alex Rodriguez sat on Fox News, uh-huh. not Fox News, on Fox Sports at the end of the World Series, the start, and said, mark my words, baseball will pass football in this country very soon,
yeah.
financially and popularity-wise. And the only thing I can think of is that do I believe in that right now where we sit, it's going to be really hard to knock off football. But yeah. It's past basketball.
Well, and here's the thing that when you talk about overall health of the sport, baseball is nowhere near as popular as football. Not even close.
No.
It's a regionalized sport.
Yeah, we agree.
But where it is the most healthy is that it can still make $9.8 billion without being popular.
Yeah.
Think about
yes,
that.
Puerto Rico is a country, sorry. I knew that. I just misspoke. Calm down.
That is why it's so exciting to you. I read an article yesterday about the Atlanta Braves and how they kind of are rebuilding their franchise. And it got me so excited because there's like just two little paragraphs about their new Sun Life Stadium that they're in Cobb County, Georgia. And the writer wrote about how it's called The Battery, where this place that they built up around the stadium. And this writer mentioned how the place has shops, it has housing, hotels. He said he went down to cover the Braves for a week and he never left the Battery. It was like a little city within its own.
Mm-hmm.
And I sat there and I went, that is exactly what the Portland Diamond Project wants to build. 8,000 units, yeah. Shops. They want to have places where you can go and not leave. And the guy said he was in Atlanta for a week and never left within walking distance of the stadium.
And the connection is if and when. It's more when, it's not if.
Well, the Athletic's Jason Stark just posted this morning a ranking of expansion sites in baseball. And it's basically saying it's happening. Okay, it's just a matter of time.
Yeah.
He ranks Portland number one as the most likely city for MLB to expand to. Says, quote, it's the 22nd largest market in America with a metropolitan area that is home to nearly 3.2 million people. One baseball official described Portland as the most organized of all cities bidding for a team. So it has that going for it. Its biggest drawback is that less than 200 miles away from Seattle, so a team in Portland would face many of the same travel challenges that the Mariners face. But if baseball is headed towards realignment and a schedule based around geography, having two teams in the Pacific Northwest would actually ease the travel burden in both Seattle and Portland. And that could be a major selling point, assuming a new ballpark and TV rights deal fall into place.
Fantastic. Fantastic.
And right now is the best time to do this because when the Mariners are humming and they're selling out tickets and people are watching their games, isn't it more likely that they'd be like, yeah, okay, well, we got our fan base here. They would be a little bit more relenting on giving up the Portland area as a fan base if they're playing well and getting up in Seattle.
Health of baseball is fantastic. It will work so well here in Portland. And, you know, the other sports will adjust, move. It's just this is, it's, sports are cyclical. And baseball's always stood the test of time.
Should note, after Portland, he has Seattle, or excuse me, Seattle. He has Charlotte as number two, Nashville number three, Montreal number four, San Antonio would be number five, Las Vegas six, Mexico City seven. So West Coast, Portland, Western region, Portland is the only one except for Vegas. All right, we'll be back tomorrow from 6 to 9 a.m. We will have Tom Hart, ESPN play-by-play College World Series preview, and we'll get to the Brett Favre creating a play. Dustin Cam on The Fan. Have a great one. Up next is The Herd with Colin Cowherd.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.